Hi, I'm Steve Todd, and you're listening to Musicians FAQ, a radio program focused on learning more about the musicians that are entertaining you around Waterloo Region. We're featuring your favorite local singer, guitar player, or drummer, learning how they got started, influences, funny stories about past gigs, and upcoming performances. You'll also hear some great recordings of their work. In addition, we'll be learning about others in the music industry that are helping to maintain a vibrant music scene. This is Musicians FAQ. Well, good morning, everybody. It's Steve Todd. Thanks a lot for listening in to Musicians FAQ on 102.7 CKMS. Due to the social distancing with the COVID-19 virus, we've had to change our approach slightly. In the past, we've been able to meet face-to-face with musicians and record live at bars and restaurants. And we've also done kitchen parties where we've had people over for, for a meal and drinks and music and an interview all at the same time. Because of the new social distancing, this is our first Skype interview. And so I apologize in advance for any sound issues. We're still working out the bugs. Today we're meeting with Kevin Westfall. It's the first of two interviews. His name came up in several previous interviews, namely with Gary Fady and Al Widmeyer. And so we knew we had to interview Kevin. He's written several songs with radio success, and they all have a Canadian theme, or generally a Canadian theme, whether it's hockey, Tim Hortons, the beer store, farming, the Legion, a little town called Lucknow up by Lake Huron. And so let's check in with Kevin, and we're going to learn a little bit about his growing up in a musical family, and then he's going to jump right into his songwriting. All right,
so we're sitting here on Skype because of the COVID-19 lockdown, and we have Kevin Westfall on Skype. Thanks a lot for doing the interview like this, Kevin.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on the show, eh?
Yeah, I know we've tried several times to meet up for moose heads, and
we're definitely 6 feet apart.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Okay. Right? Yeah, we planned on the moose heads and the red hots, and what else? There was something else in there too. Pickled eggs, I guess.
Yeah, we got
meeting up. But
if you're going to be in quarantine, that's how you got to do it. Right? You got to. It could be a while, so you make sure you're stocked up.
Oh, for sure.
You got with the red hots. You got to. They'll keep you alive. They'll help you fight off anything. You got, if you've got any symptoms, the red J.M. Schneider's red.
I think we're locking up here.
It'll help you.
Anyway, why don't you tell the CKMS listeners a little bit about yourself?
Well, I'm a Canadian writer, and I write culturistic tunes and topical tunes, and I don't really have a plan. I just kind of write stuff and throw them out there, and never know what my next song is going to be about. I just kind of go one after another.
Did your parents play music at all, or?
Yeah, my dad. He played guitar professionally. He played, I guess his era would have been called the 1962 to about 1980. He was in that realm. He played guitar and played different like country acts and stuff. And I was exposed to it as a kid. I can remember being 5 and 6. Watching my dad play, thinking, you know, this is pretty cool. He's got a big Gretsch guitar and a big amplifier, and you know, it was back in that era, right?
Yeah.
So it always felt like a natural thing for me. I was always around it, right?
Yeah.
But it wasn't until, you know, later on that I got into. I always liked writing. I always sort of had a little knack for making stuff rhyme and fit and getting to the point. And when I was writing commercials, I could, commercial writing, usually you got to get everything in 20 seconds, right?
Yeah.
And I had a knack for that. I could sit down with somebody that owned a furniture store and they'd say, oh, this is my store. This is what I want in the commercial. And I'd pen it out and write a jingle. Right. And it, from there, it brought me to writing these silly, funny songs. Right.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe one day I'll try and write mainstream. You know, I'd love to write a hit song for somebody.
Yeah.
You know, you never know.
Right? Yeah. Well, you can write a Punky Doodles one for me if you like.
Damn right. Damn right. They need a song.
Yeah, for sure.
You should do it.
All right, mentioned previously, Kevin's songs definitely have a Canadian theme. And here's one that he wrote called Canada, The Place to Be.
I want to thank Sir Johnny for what he has done. He brought us all together and he turned us into one. One great nation was his dream, and his dream would soon come true. Then the greatest country in the world was born and given to me and you. Canada, Canada is the place to be. Canada, Canada, Canada is for me. From north and south, to east and west, from sea to shiny sea. God bless the men and women who give their lives to keep us free. Do what you wanna do, be what you wanna be. There's only one place in the world I love. Canada is for me. Canada, Canada is the place to be. Canada, Canada, le Canada est pour moi.
All right, we're back. Thanks for listening to Musicians FAQ. I'm Steve Todd, and let's continue our interview.
Yeah, and a lot of your songs are real Canadian, like whether you're talking about Canada or the Legion, Tim Hortons, gas prices, like things that are on Canadians' minds, right? Maple Leafs.
That's pretty much it. The whole thing got started back in, say, 2000. And I never set out to be a singer. I'm not a singer. I can't carry a tune in a wheelbarrow. And I was playing in a bar one night, and our lead singer had a sore throat, and he couldn't sing. And he just kind of leaned over to me, and he said, "Kevy, talk to these people here. Do something." So I didn't know what to say. And the first thing that jumped in my mind was the price of gas, because that was a hot topic at that time, right? And I started bitching about gas prices on the stage. And lo and behold, I realized I had everybody's attention. And I thought, hey, I got to have a song about gas prices, you know? So that was sort of how the Canuck got started.
Yeah.
I went home and penned out a song about gas prices. And then the price of gas kept going up. And then I had been, prior to that, I was writing TV and radio commercials at that time.
Oh, okay.
I did like jingle writing. And I approached different people in the business. I said, what do you think about this idea for this song, you know, with the high gas prices? And everybody I talked to said, oh, it's a hot topic. You know, you might be onto something here. And it was all about a guy trading in his pickup truck and getting a horse. You know, he couldn't afford his truck, right? So, I started shopping the song around. I different Canadian entertainers at that time looked at recording it. It was, I know, Ronnie Prophet. I don't know if you ever remember. He's dead now, but the song was pitched to him, and he wanted it rewritten in an American format, and they wanted to change it from, you know, buying a pickup truck and getting a horse to, you know, trading in your stallion to pay so much a gallon and this and that. And I didn't want to rewrite it in an American format. And then, of course, it was pitched off to Red Green and Stompin' Tom and different ones in the business at that time. Yeah. But nobody would record it. So I took it into the studio with a bunch of local musicians, the Saltwater Cowboys I was playing with back then.
Yeah.
We went in and we did a session at Dave McLaren's studio here in Kitchener.
Okay. And
we cut this thing as a demo, right? And then, I don't know. In the meantime, the price of gas kept going up and going up. It'd go from, you know, 55 cents to 60 cents to 70 cents, and it kept going up. And I got approached by the TV station here in town. Are you the guy who sings about the gas prices? And I said, yeah. And, you know, they liked it. They said it was going to be a hot story. And sure as shit, didn't mean to say that. Sure as heck, the long weekend came in July, and gas went from 50 to a buck or whatever at that time. It was like major news. And, you know, CKCO or CTV here, they picked it up, and they said, well, who's going to sing it? Said, well, you are. I said, well, I'm not really a singer. I'm a writer. Well, go get your cowboy hat, grab your guitar. And they hooked me up with a couple of cameramen, and we went and shot a video out on the 401 and whatnot, all about.
Oh, really? Okay. That's neat.
Yeah, we did a thing about trading in the pickup truck and getting the horse. And, you know, that weekend when gas prices took off, that song was put on the Media Hub coast to coast.
Wow, okay.
It was on the national. I was sitting here watching it on TV on, you know, with Lloyd Robertson at 11 o'clock, and I couldn't believe what was going on, you know.
And that was just your demo, pretty much, with the video.
Yeah. It was all for fun. We did the demo, and we threw it out there, and bang, this thing took off. And
that's great.
You know, that's the first part of the story. Maybe I'll tell you the second part as we continue on here.
I'm gonna trade in my pickup truck to get me a horse. Because of me and Petro Canada, we're now legally divorced. Well, a new form of transportation, well, I need a new source. I'm gonna trade in my pickup truck to get me a horse. Well, I really find it outrageous, the prices at the pump. Well, the government's mowing the poor man blue, so the prices start to jump. Well, a politician, man, he don't understand, and he feels no remorse. How it takes gold bars to run our cars, so I think I'm gonna buy me a horse. I'm gonna trade in my pickup truck to get me a horse. Because me and Petro Canada are now legally divorced. Well, a new form of transportation, well, I need a new source. I'm gonna trade in my pickup truck to get me a horse. Well, I won't have to change no muffler, I won't have to repair the heater. Well, I won't need to buy new tires, and I can sell off the winter beater. Just a hitching post and a bag of oats sounds a heck of a whole lot cheaper. Cause there ain't no way that I'm ever gonna pay over 70 cents a liter. I'm gonna trade in my pickup truck and get me a horse. Because me and Petro Canada are now legally divorced. truck and get me a horse. Well, she might take a little more time, she may take a whole lot longer. Well, to get around town, she's fine, and my cash flow's a whole lot stronger. Just a bale of hay and I'm on my way. That's all I have to feed her, 'cause there ain't no way that I'm ever gonna pay over 70 cents a liter. I'm gonna trade in my pickup truck and get me a horse, 'cause me and Pets of Canada are now legally divorced. Well, I need more transportation, well, I need a new source. I'm gonna trade in my pickup truck and get me a horse. I'm gonna trade in my pickup truck and get me a horse. I'm gonna trade in my pick-em-up truck and get me a horse.
Hi, I'm Craig Beck from Kitchener, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo.ca.
Yeah.
Okay. So you got a second half of the story.
All right. Sorry. No. Well, it ended up being later on down the road. A good friend of mine that plays, he's a bit of a mentor. I met a gentleman in town here when I was maybe 17 by the name of Al Widmeyer.
Yeah. Okay.
And Al and I have been good friends for years, and Al's played on these recordings. He's played fiddle and dobro and guitar on a lot of my recordings over the years. But at that time, a few years later, after I had done this gas song, Al was playing with Tom Connors. I think it was around 2005.
Okay.
And Al approached me, said, I'm going on the road with Connors, and he wants us to do Canadian content on the tour. Can I do your gas song? Well, I was more than flattered. My jaw hit the ground. I said, sure. Oh, sure. I guess in 2005, every time these guys went on tour, there was always gas price wars and stuff going on across the country. So when Al would go out on the road with Connors, he would do that song, right? And that from that experience, that's what led me to Tom, right? That's how ended up meeting Tom through that, right? Okay. So it's a good experience, and the song got kicked around on a national level again in 2005 with Al going across the country singing it on tour with Tom, right?
Oh, for sure.
Then from that, just with that particular song, after Al had done that, I remember Tom calling the house here, and he said, are you the guy who sings the songs about the gas? And I said, yeah. He goes, well, I'm Tom Connors. And he introduced himself over the phone, and he thanked me for letting the boys take the song out on the road. And he assured me Al would do a good job with it. And it was kind of cool. And he got the information from me. He says, I want to make sure you get paid for it. And I thought that was the coolest thing. And like I said, I eventually got paid for it, which was a cool experience. You know, Al and I, we giggle about it all the time, you know.
But
from that, I found out, I don't know, call it about a year later, after if Al wouldn't have did that song on the tour and I wouldn't have got paid for it, I wouldn't have found out about the international royalty I got for it. And
it's really
a lot of money. I was generating nickels and pennies over in Europe and whatnot. But what was really cool about it was I found out from that experience with Al doing it coast to coast that it was actually played in 22 countries around the world. I just about flipped when I found this out, you know, and it was funny because they didn't really know my name. They there was no internet music wasn't quite like it is now. People still listen to the radio in a lot of these places, and they didn't know me as Kevin. They were referring to me as the Canuck, this Canadian guy, right? So that's sort of how I ended up with the Canuck.
Like Kevin Canuck, I guess, right?
Yeah, it just kind of that was the angle. I thought, okay, well, this is how it's supposed to go, right?
Great. Okay.
So yeah, it was a neat experience, and like I said, it was at the time when we recorded it, we were having fun. That was in 2000, and then up, you know, around 2005, 2006, I couldn't believe where all this thing got played and kicked around, and it just started here in Kitchener down the street at a local TV station, right?
All right, here's another of Kevin's Canadian influence songs. It's called The Royal Canadian Legion Tribute.
I'm not wanted in Nashville.
Too old for Canadian Idol.
Ben Mulrooney won't be calling me. You see, I'm not hot, and I'm not cool.
There's only one spot left for this old fool.
I hear the Legion calling me.
Dartboards, shuffleboards,
pickle legs, cold draft,
blue hairs,
no cares, telling jokes, people laugh. I could never forget the home for our vets who gave for you and me. I hear the Legion calling me.
Fridays and Saturday afternoons. We are one big happy family. Stop on by and you will find lots of fun and good times. I hear the Legion calling me. Yeah!
Call a cab. Run a tab, sign in at the door.
It's better when you bring a friend.
The 50-50 will be a dollar more.
Where there's old Canada and God save the Queen. Now that is a place for me.
I hear the Legion calling me.
Everybody now, come on.
I hear the Legion calling me.
The whole branch all together now.
I hear the Legion
thank you.
And you were actually playing in, you said Saltwater Cowboys, so you were playing locally, Stampede Corral and Ranch and those kind of places and everything?
In the 90s, I played in a local country band. I think 91 to 2001, I played with the Saltwater Cowboys. And we played all the, you know, all the Southern Ontario, Midwestern Ontario, like most of, from, we didn't go too far north, but we played in the nucleus of Ontario. And we had a really good run. We played all the new country stuff. And right as that band came to an end, I sort of started having some success doing these silly songs on my own, right?
Okay. That's great. Well, why don't we move on to Puck Nut Daddy? I think you said that was your next tune they wrote, and obviously it sounds like a hockey type song, right?
Well, after about 6 months later, after we had done the Gas song, call it 3 or 4 months.
Yep.
Hockey season's on. And my friends down at the TV station at that time, I ran into the one guy and I said, he says, "You got any other songs?" I said, "Yeah." I go, "Well," he goes, "What do you got?" I said, "Well, I got one about the Leafs winning the Stanley Cup." And he said to me, "Well, you're dreaming." He said, they're not even going to make the playoffs this year. I said, "Well, yeah, well, when you're a Leaf fan, like I am, you cheer when they're in first place and you cheer if they're in last place, right? Doesn't matter. You cheer. But if they get in, they got a shot." And he laughed like hell. He said, "You're dreaming. They're not going to get in." So I had went. Got a group of guys together, Saltwater Cowboys, Al Widmeyer. There's a few extras. We booked a studio here. Gary Heinz had a studio.
Okay.
It was an old analog studio where they still, it was before digital recording. It was all done on the reel-to-reel recordings.
That's awesome. Okay.
Yeah, it was cool. We went in there we had a few beers and said, "Okay, this is how this song goes." And a friend of mine by the name of Randy Morrison came down. I was so thankful that he's a great fiddle player. He jumped in and played fiddle. And we kind of did this thing live off the floor, all about the Leafs winning the Stanley Cup, right? And I get this recording together. And it was maybe about a month before the end of the NHL season. And the Leafs, they were, you know, no different than they are now. Nobody knew if they were going to make the playoffs or not.
For sure.
And I got this recording done. I hit the media with it, and everybody in all the media outlets were like, they knew me from doing the Gas song already, and they were like, "You're dreaming. This team ain't making playoffs this year. They suck," right? I got heckled for it. And came down, this was in 2001, came down to the last game of the season. I think it was a 1-1 game, and somebody like Darcy Tucker or Dave Andrechuk or somebody ended up scoring, and the Leafs won this game and clinched they clinched the playoff berth, eh?
Okay, yep.
So the next morning, I had the Globe and Mail, the Kitchener Record, the Toronto Star, CFRB 1010 in Toronto.
Oh, yeah.
News Talk 570 in town. At that time, it was 820 Cham and Hamilton. They all hit me. I was home in bed here. I had probably about 11 beers from the night before. My phone started ringing at, you know, early morning disc jock hours, 3-4 in the morning, wanting to know, am I the guy who sings the song about the Leafs winning the Stanley Cup? And lo and behold, I thought, here we go again. We did this with the Gas song, now we're doing it with Puck Nut Daddy, right?
Well, the cup looked great on the mantle when the boys took her home out west. Yeah, the cup sat tall down in Montreal. For years, the Habs were the best. But we had a real good reason. I follow every season and I know my mind is made up. I'm gonna cheer and scream for that blue and white team till the Leafs win a Stanley Cup.
Cause a cheer when the first call, cheer when the last call, cheer in the finger of the cheer in the fast. This hot dog daddy is never letting up till the Leafs win a Stanley Cup. I wear my maple leaf sweater in the shower. Well, I'm a big butt man, I'm a dedicated fan. Every second, every minute, every hour, I wear my blue and white briefs at Seiko Leafs, and I always keep my face painted up. I'm gonna cheer and scream for that blue and white team till the Leafs win a Stanley Cup. Cause a cheer when they're first, I'll cheer when they're last, I'll cheer in the future as a cheer in the past. This hot daddy is never letting up till the Leafs win a Stanley Cup. I'll cheer when they're first, I'll cheer when they're last, I'll cheer in the future as I cheered in the past. I'm a punk nut daddy and I'm never letting up till the Leafs win a Stanley Cup. I'll cheer when they're first, I'll cheer when they're last, I'll cheer in the future as I cheered in the past. This punk nut daddy is never letting up till the Leafs win a Stanley Cup. I'm just a punk nut daddy and I'm never letting up till the Leafs win a Stanley Cup.
What goes up must come down, they say. Well, I'll tell you something. That song, the Leafs had a little bit of a playoff run, and every time they would win a game, the media pushed it and pushed it. They were actually getting ready to play it. They were going to play it in the Air Canada Centre, but they had issues. The recording, they thought that if it were played, an audio version played in front of that many people with that amount of volume in an arena, they might not understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that was why we ended up down the road. I re-recorded it. I tried to get a little bit of a different mix. There was nothing wrong with the original, but they wanted a special mix for something that would resonate in front of that size of an audience. And I never, like, how do you plan something like that, right? But we had a lot of fun with it. And what happened was the song grew, it mushroomed, and the Leafs got beat out in 2001. And then from about 2002 until 2011, they never made playoffs. They stunk every year. And every year I got heckled by the same people who hated the Leafs. Hey, how's your Leafs doing there, Mr. Canuck? So, I had fun with it, but when you're a Leaf fan, you know, there's consequences, right?
Well, anyway, it's pretty amazing, though. Like 6 months after the first one, you got you got all success again.
I don't know how to explain it to you. I never set out to do this. Like I said, I never once considered myself to be a singer. And I play a little bit of guitar and I can play a little bit of bass and I can kind of hack away on a fiddle a little. Like I never thought that I would be on the radio or on television and doing these things. It just, I kind of fell into it somehow. Right. Yeah. And it seems like a natural fit for me.
Yeah,
like
sure.
Doing, right.
Well, I've watched even your, we're going to talk about Lucknow later on, but, I've watched your Lucknow videos and you got some great facial expressions and you can tell you're sort of a natural in front of the camera as well. So you've got, whether it's the writing or the performing, you got it kind of all wrapped up.
Well, with the Lucknow, before I did that, after I did Pucknut Daddy, I had recorded, I don't know if I gave it to you, I've got it here somewhere. I recorded a song called Boil That Water Down.
Okay.
It was all about boiling your water. Don't trust your politicians. Okay. It was a cool little tune. It was basically written for the folks, my friends and people I know up around the Walkerton.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
it was when that Walkerton water scandal was going on.
Yeah.
And it's got a little bit of a political twist to it. And at that time, I was getting some interest with it. And there were some radio stations up North Country that were going to play it. And it was a bit of a rebellious tune. It was mocking the politicians and whatnot. And people were getting set to play it. And some people started to die from the water crisis. So the song that was sort of fun, all of a sudden, it might not have been the right
take. Yeah, that makes
right,
sense.
Right?
Yeah.
So that one fell by the wayside, you know.
Yeah.
But it was a good recording. And we did that at Uncle Jerry's as well. And somewhere, every now and again, when I'm out playing, there'll be someone from up country that'll come up and go, you know, play Boil That Water Down, or they know these songs, so I know they heard them somewhere at some point, right?
For sure. Why don't you talk about your I think you mentioned the next song after Tuck McDaddy was the Timmy's or Tim Horton song. Go get into that a bit, or
sure. This is another interesting story here. I had, I think it was around 2006 when I wrote it, 2007. I had this, I was out one day on my day off, and I was having coffee. I was at a market, and I was sitting there, and I heard this lady, I heard this old man yelling at his wife, saying, you know, come on, we got to get our groceries. We got to do all this stuff. And he was kind of rushing her. And I heard her, she said to him, she was kind of giving it to him, like, I'm not doing nothing until I have my Tim's. And that line just kind of resonated with me. And I laughed about it. I thought, how many people can relate to that? You know, like, I've heard people say this, like, okay, we got to have coffee before we get at it here, you know? So me being where my head is with writing these songs and being silly all the time, I wrote this song all about, you know, I'm not doing nothing till I have my Tim's, you know? It's a true story. I don't know how it is for you, but when I get up in the morning, first thing I do is I brush my teeth, I comb my hair, and then I go up to Tim's, I hit the drive-thru, I have my coffee, and then once that coffee's done, then I'm my day's started, right?
Okay.
So that's basically what I wrote.
I wake up every morning, miserable and mean.
I don't want no Captain Crunch, I'm looking for caffeine. I brush my teeth, I comb my hair, when my day begins, I'm not doing nothing until I have my Tim's. I'm not doing nothing until I have my Tim's. It's the only way to start your day before any work begins. I got time to wait in line and play roll up the rim. I'm not doing nothing until I have my Tim's.
May I help you?
I head off to the drive-thru when I order one big cup,
a large double-double.
I'm sure to wake up.
I tell myself every morning when my day begins, I'm not doing nothing until I have my Tim's. I'm not doing nothing until I have my Tim's.
It's the only way to start your day before any work begins.
I got time to wait in line and play roll up the rim. I'm not doing nothing until I have my Tim's. I'm not doing nothing until I have my Tim's.
Nothing.
I'm not doing nothing.
He's not doing nothing.
I'm not doing nothing.
She's not doing nothing.
I'm not doing nothing.
We're all not doing nothing.
I'm not doing nothing.
I may as well go back to bed.
I'm not doing nothing.
No, I'm not doing nothing.
I'm not doing nothing.
He's not doing a thing.
I'm not doing nothing.
Nothing. nothing.
I'm not doing nothing.
Nothing at all.
I'm not doing nothing.
We're not doing nothing.
After I recorded it, I wrote it, I listened to it a few times. I thought, hey, I've got something here. So I went and recorded it, called my good buddy Al Widmeyer again. I said, Al, bring your guitar down, bring your stuff down, and let's get at her. And I booked the studio, and we went in and cut it. Well, again, the timing with this, at that particular time, it was when they just opened the Tim Hortons up in Kandahar.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay.
For the troops, right? But I didn't know this. I just, like I said, the way things seemed to fall in my favor, I found out after I wrote it that, you know, their Timmy's is, they opened up in Kandahar. And I'm like, no way, right? So I record this, and a good friend of mine, I don't know if you know him or not, his name's Dan Beeman. Dan, he's a radio personality on 920, and he worked CKNX radio.
Yeah.
Okay. And because of Dan, I've known Dan for many years now, probably 25 years. Dan, he's always given me opportunity, and he's had ways of getting these songs on the radio for me. I gave him that recording of the Timmy tune, and he was able to get it played up in Midwestern Ontario on CKNX. And it only took a couple of spins, and next thing you know, there was people talking, and it was being played on rock radio in Niagara Falls and in Toronto and the Moose FM and out in Saskatchewan. And it became a bit of a fad. Everybody was sort of saying, you know, I'm not doing nothing, I'll have my Tims. Then a station in Fredericton grabbed it, and it's Fred FM. They streamlined music from the military base in Fredericton into the troops in Afghanistan. And I found out then that, you know, they were playing it, and there were actual men and women serving the country that were didn't want to do nothing over there till they had their Tims.
That's great.
So it was kind of cool. You know, I received a letter. I was really honored. I had a nice email from the human resource department of Tim Hortons thanking me for making their customers happy. I thought, hey, this is pretty good here. You know, life's good.
Yeah.
So that the Timmy tune, even to this day, when I'm out playing live, people, they request it, they want to hear it, and we have fun with it. Little kids like it.
Yep.
It's kind of funny when you hear kids, you know, 6 and 7 and 8 years old that come up to you, and they look me in the eye and they tell me, I'm not doing nothing till I have my Tim. And I laugh like hell, you know.
For sure.
All right, because of COVID-19 and social distancing and all the restaurants, bars and restaurants being closed, musicians are desperate to find an audience, I guess. And so many musicians are posting watch parties on Facebook Live and getting their voices out there. And Kevin's no different. He's recorded a song on Facebook Live watch party called The Pogey Song. So we'll hear that right now.
Well, I didn't pay my hydro, and I'm behind with rent. My refrigerator's empty, and my savings are all spent. Well, I need to pay my phone bill, my Visa's maxed again. Well, they'll just all have to wait till my pokey check comes in. I'm waiting for my pokey, I'm waiting for my pokey. Hey, Justin Trudeau told me that my check was coming in. Woo! I don't mind craft dinner. Well, beefaroni and ravioli always is a winner. With a little luck tomorrow, I'll be eating steak again. Tomorrow just might be the day when that pokey check comes in. I'm waiting for my pokey, I'm waiting for my pokey. Justin Trudeau told me that my check was coming in. Hey, Justin Trudeau told me that my check was coming in. Yeah!
Thank you. No matter where I'm traveling, I always know that I can log into RadioWaterloo.ca. I'm never far away from listening to the best in community radio. This is 102.7 CKMS.
All right, we're going to hear one more from Kevin called The Beer Store Song. And there's lots more in part two. He talks about his Lucknow song and pickled eggs and farming. And he's got lots more to say. So we're going to continue on to the part two. After the Beer Store Song, we're going to hear two songs by local artists. We had recently John Prine passed away from the COVID-19. So we're having Kelly Smith. She's going to do Angel from Montgomery. And also, I think earlier in the month, Bill Withers passed away. And John Ladds is going to be playing Ain't No Sunshine. So let's hear that, and we'll see you in a few weeks with the remainder of the Kevin Westphal story. Thank you.
Table with my uncle and my cousin. Before we knew it, we went through a dozen. I opened up the fridge and there was nothing there to pour. I had to make a trip to the beer store. There's people going in, people coming out, bringing empties back, taking full ones out. There's 6 packs, 12 packs, and 24s. We had to make a trip to the beer store. I was working hard in the yard and thought I'd better stop. Maybe take a little break, maybe have a wobbly pop. I opened up the fridge and there was nothing there to pour. I had to make a trip to the beer store. There's people going in, people coming out, bringing empties back, taking full ones out. There's 6 packs, 12 packs, and 24s. We had to make a trip to the beer store. I was laying on a couch when the doorbell rung. It was 5 of my pals and they were tripping on their tongue. When we opened up the fridge, we only counted 4. We had to make a trip to the beer store. There's people going in, people coming out, bringing empties back, taking full ones out. There's 6 packs, 12 packs, and 24s. We had to make a trip to the beer store. Well, I know the day is soon to come. When I can't get to and I can't get from, what will I do when I have no more? I better get going to the beer store. There's people going in, people coming out, bringing empties back, taking full ones out. There's 6 packs, 12 packs, and 24s. We had to make a trip to the beer store. I had to make a trip to the beer store. I had to make a trip to the beer store. Man, am I thirsty. I better stop and get 6. Actually, I better stop and get 12. 12 will be enough. Well, maybe I'll get 24. Yeah, 24. What kind should I get? What I like.
Well, some of you may have never heard of John Prine until this week when he sadly died of COVID-19. And being a songwriter, you can to be able to create music and lyrics that people touch people is a rare gift. And John Prine had that gift. And we were introduced to him by our friend Paul Schultz. And these are two of his songs that I know. So this is one.
Leave this young thing alone. shine when she's gone.